This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, it's week 37 of 2020, and welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast about, quote, the fun we have in our theater, end quote, and all the movies that we watch and anything that we do in our theater that's fun. And I had some fun this week, but before that, my name is DJ, and you can reach us on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email us at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. Of course, you can always talk to everybody in the home theater community that listens to this. Check out the website. You can leave comments directly underneath each of the episodes or under any of the featured home theaters that we just started doing a few weeks ago that has been a great success. But the website is brightsidehometheater.com. Isn't that convenient? And this week in my theater, I've been busy. I told you last week I did a little bit of remodeling, and the remodeling is continuing. I'm doing a fresh coat of paint. I'm redesigning my speaker layout a little bit. I'm kind of recessing my NHTs on my sidewalls a little bit to the side because football season's upon us and people will be walking around. So I've been wanting to do that for years, and I've been banging up the walls. So I figured while I'm doing some spackling and some painting, having some fun remodeling, maybe a stripe on the wall, we'll see. But that's some fun I'm having in my theater. Of course, I was able to watch Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back. I watched Away on Netflix in my theater. I only watched episode one so far. That was really good. Quite the tearjerker. There's some good action. I anticipate some more action in the upcoming episodes. But other than that, I really haven't been able to actually sit down and watch a lot. Because, like I said, I'm doing the remodeling, but people are watching, and I'm getting recommendations. And as a matter of fact, Steve George recommended this week off of one of our recommendations. So it came originally from John M. a few weeks ago, Robin Hood 2018 in 4K, and Steve George had heard me mention it on the podcast. So he watched it, and he said it was really good. He said, check it out. The story's not, you know, it's not perfect. But as far as a home theater movie goes, and that's what we talk about here, he said it was good to check it out. And I was out at the time, and I said, well, let me see if I have it. And of course, when I got home, I do have it. So I will be checking that out. Because of that interaction, I was like, hey, why don't we add this into this week's movie suggestions, submissions? So, of course, we'll add in the Robin Hood in 4K from 2018, which I mentioned a few weeks ago. But also this week from John M., he had mentioned Superman, the 4K, the Donner cut. And he had mentioned if you have never seen the 3-hour cut, it has some good additional scenes. But he also said that it is pretty amazing to see what they can do with the Atmos, especially on a movie like that from, I believe it's 1978, and the upgrade on that. And I love that movie. But this is one of the movies, and John mentioned this, that you need to click on Atmos. It doesn't default to the Atmos track. And I found that out the hard way. I was about 15 minutes in, and I was doing my little, you know, review of it. And I didn't find the sound to be that dynamic. And then I was like, oh, so right as the movie's playing, you hit menu, you can go in there. And this, it was actually a lot of fun. It was, an exercise that you shouldn't have to do, but it was kind of fun. I click on Atmos and the room came alive. So you really can hear the difference. And another one from John M. is Cobra Kai on Netflix. I'm hearing a lot of good things about this. John was the first one to actually email the podcast and mention it. So I thought I'd put it in there. He says, blasted through 2 seasons of Cobra Kai in like 3 days. Addictive and good. And from what I've heard, especially if you're a fan of the 80s, grew up in the 80s, that this is going to be addictive. Once you start it, you want to keep going. That's what I'm hearing. I haven't watched it yet. I'm sure my wife and I are going to get to that. But yeah, so that'll be a new section. Let me know what you've been watching and I'll include it in this section on the podcast. That way people can get an idea on what, maybe give them an idea on what to watch in their theaters this week. So on Twitter, we have new Twitter followers. Huge week. Huge week. Let me stop right here before I even get to that. Most of these followers came from my appearance on AV Rant. Again, got to thank those guys. Rob, Tom, thank you so much. I've heard Tom's podcast this week. He mentioned me. Yes, Tom, check is in the mail. You know the term. You know what that means. So yes, the check is in the mail. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And my appreciation is reflected in the amount on the check that is in the mail. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was almost terrifying to watch back. I got to say that when they came out with their YouTube episode this week and it was back to Tom and Rob, I was a lot more relaxed listening and watching. It was a lot nicer. And there is one thing I'd like to mention to Tom. I know he doesn't listen to this podcast. Rob listens to some of them. Tom mentions in his podcast that he's never seen me until I appeared on AV Rant because we're on YouTube. Well, when I record with people, we can see each other. The app that I use allows you to see the person. So Rob and I have seen each other, well, now twice, but the guys from HT Guys, they've seen me. The only time, and I use this app every week, I've recorded with multiple people through both of my podcasts, many, many people, and to this day, Tom is the only person that for some reason, my camera wouldn't sync up, so all he saw was a map. So he hadn't seen me. He was correct. He was a little unsure. Maybe he had seen me. Maybe he hadn't. But nope, he was correct. He had never seen me until I appeared on AV Rant. I apologize for that. But for some reason, it was like, and he was the first person on AV from the AV world to come on to my podcast. And I'm sitting there frantically looking to see how I could fix this because he's sitting there. I could see him. He's relaxing in his theater. And we obviously, you know, we had a great conversation, Jurassic Park back in June. Maybe it was even May. We talked for almost 3 hours. We had a great time, but the entire time he couldn't see me. And I apologize, but now he has. Hopefully I didn't ruin his day with that. But anyways, my appearance on AV Rant, huge success for me. Thank you guys. Here are all, I had a huge week. So my new Twitter followers are Sue, Lee Overstreet from AV Rant, Clara, Tom, Get Tech In With Ted, Michigan 66, Dave, Chip, Kevin, Enrique, Unsung Horrors, and special note here, Unsung Horrors was my 200th follower on Twitter, so thank you to everybody that got me there, but Unsung Horrors happened to be the one that was the 200th. Then we have Greg, Carrie, and Magnetic Cinema. I felt like I was reading a school cancellation list there. It was so long. That is probably my biggest week so far. No, I can't remember maybe when I first started, but that was all friends and family. So yeah, thank you guys. It's going great. I appreciate it. I appreciate all of the, we'll get to some of the comments in a second. People sent me well wishes and stuff. A few comments from this week. PS5 sound versus the Xbox X and S sound. And I'm very excited about this. Rob and I from Rob at AV Rant at First Reflect, we had a little conversation on Twitter about that. And they know a little bit more about the nitty gritty, or a lot more about the nitty gritty. But I kind of like what's going on here. And I like that Xbox is putting out this, you know, they're going with the Atmos and DTS:X, and they're going to incorporate that into their system, try to bring some normalcy and bring some exposure to these two formats to the gaming world so that more people will be aware of it. And this is the way I see it. I think that's what it's going to do. But Sony with the PS5 has different ideas, and they're going with their in-house, I think, or how do they put it? But anyways, they're doing their own sound system, which I also think is a great idea because this is for video games. So PS5 is for playing video games. And what if it's better? What if they push the envelope and come up with a better system? And then all of a sudden you want that for your movies, or you want, next thing you know, we have a format war, and boy, oh boy, isn't that fun? So I think that could be very interesting. It makes me really want to check out that PS5. I know what DTSX and I know what Atmos sounds like. I hope Xbox can get it right because they've had a shaky history with their sound. But very much looking forward to these because I think it's going to create a lot of fun for us in our theaters. I think the different formats and the different debates that we're going to have and all the conversations we can have and arguments, and it's all good fun. So really looking forward to that. The Panasonic UB820 is now on sale at Amazon too. Last week we said it was on sale like $100 cheaper at Crutchfield. This week it's actually on Amazon too. So check that out. I think it's also $100 or $102 cheaper or something like that. But the Panasonic UB820, that's what I love that one. But that's on for under 300 bucks or around 300 bucks. That's a good deal for that. It does that. Those things do a lot. So let's get to some of the Twitter and email comments from this week. So first up, we have Steve George and a Mandalorian conversation that we had. And I won't get into the email, the tweets back and forth, but basically the conversation was, how come Disney Plus won't put out Mandalorian on physical disc? Cause I need to see that on physical disc because that entire season seems to me like episode 3 of Game of Thrones. It seems a lot of the blacks are washed out through streaming. It just doesn't play as well. And I need to see this with HDR. I need to see this in physical form so that I can get the best possible picture. Cause I have a feeling it's going to be spectacular. Steve agrees. But he doesn't think that Disney is ever going to release it physically because they're pushing people to their Disney Plus platform. I agree. But here's the question. And I posed it to Steve and he felt kind of the same way. He's like, what are you going to, I mean, it doesn't make sense, but it seems to be what they're doing. So here it is. If they put it out on disc, does that hurt their streaming platform? Because if you got to pay $25 to $30 for the disc, which we all would, if you're listening to me now and you're a Star Wars fan, you're buying it. I just, there's no doubt about it, right? But you still have Disney Plus. But if you're not going to buy the disc, and if you really want to see Mandalorian and you haven't seen it yet, paying $30 for a disc is going to get you to do it as opposed to paying $7 for a month and binge watching season 1. So I don't understand that the business model there. Admittedly, I am not very bright. I'm not very good at business. It just doesn't make sense. It seems to me like they could make more money there and put them out season by season, like put it out now, maybe in time for Christmas, season 1, season 2 comes in a year. Then when the whole thing's over, you put out a box set and we all buy that. And everybody says Disney's all about grabbing money. Well, why wouldn't they grab that money? Anyways, I thought I'd put that out there to you guys. Let me know what you think. So next up, Clara B. commenting on my appearance on AV Rant, saying, appreciate you filling in. So thank you, Clara. I really appreciate it. It was nerve-wracking, but I appreciate the well wishes. John Tooth at PankJT. He says on Twitter, love listening to you and especially love the interaction between the podcasts. Great community. Have a great weekend, folks. Again, replying to my appearance on AV Rant. And yeah, thank you. And I love that. I love that we're getting the community going. I love that all 3 podcasts are talking right now and we're talking on Twitter and people are interacting back and forth with each other. This is a lot of fun. And I'm happy to be a part of it. And then Carl at Carl the Haitian. He wrote, good job, DJ. Enjoyed it, guys. Thank you, Carl. Appreciate it. We also have a couple of old comments from a few weeks ago, or maybe 2 weeks ago. I think I should have had these last week. But as I've said on my other podcast, I'm not really good at organizing all these social media things. So it's hard. Sometimes I miss them. And like I think I did say that last week here, as I feel bad. So John Burton at Bean S. R. Dunn, or Beans Are Done. Huh, that's funny. He wrote, at Brightside HT, have you done an episode on Dr. Sleep? Good Lord, what a great movie. But the bass in it, you better glue down any loose objects. I had stuff rattling I've never heard rattle before. And I said, I haven't seen the movie yet, but now I'm really intrigued. He said, when you watch, make sure you watch the director's cut. So let's add that one to the list for this week's recommendations. I should have mentioned that last week. I apologize, but sometimes things just slip through the cracks. But I'm glad I got it out there. I ordered it already. I have it. I'm going to check that one out as well. So the last comment for this week is from Graham Cole, just came in yesterday, the day before, at Grambo X on Twitter. He said, hey, Brightside HT, listening to at AV Rant Tom's response to Ted's question. I think DJ dodged a bullet. I can't imagine answering amps versus no amps. Anyway, DJ, I think you did a great job last week. So he's referring to a question that if you had listened to the AV Rant episode I was on, you heard Rob say, let's skip past this one because it's not fair to you. And he really wanted Tom to have the opportunity to answer that because it really did deserve the rant. Tom and Rob did a great job at answering that and answering it in a nice way. And I'd seen the question and I don't know if I could have been as nice. I would have been like, no, I'm not changing my opinions. They're my opinions. If you don't like them, don't listen. But they did a better job. They're better men than I am. So anyways, but thanks, Graham. Thanks for the compliment too. Now let's take a look at this week's featured theater. And this week's featured theater is brought to us by Francis Amoco. And I've labeled it Amoco Theater. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right. If I'm not, I apologize, Francis. I think I got Francis right. So if you'd like to follow along, you can go to the website, brightsidehometheater.com. Click on Francis's Theater, and you can follow along with the pictures. The first picture we're looking at is a picture of the newly delivered Kef Q-Series speakers, and he said to me he has Q550 up front, he has a center channel Q650C, and the surround sides are Q150s, and then for subwoofers, we scroll down the next picture, I believe that's a picture of his PB13 Ultra, SVS PB13 Ultra, and the one below that is, I believe that's the same sub, only with the grill on, and you can see the remotes neatly stacked in the back. I believe that's, it's hard to tell because you can't tell if it's ported underneath, but the next picture we see would be of the SVS PB and SB1000 stacked on top of each other. So yeah, looking at all those remotes and just the arc of the actual woofer, it looks like that is the PB right there in that picture of with the PB Ultra with the grill on it. And below the picture of the stacked 1000s. And hey, for instance, take a look at that picture of the stacked 1000s and try to get an idea of the difference in size between an SB and a PB. Because that's a pretty good difference right there. To give you anybody that hasn't, you know, is in the market or would love to get a subwoofer and you see the difference. It's like that ported subwoofer is a big boy. But then below that picture, we see speakers out of their boxes in all their beautiful glory and his LG E7 OLED in the background. But those speakers look gorgeous. I love the flat finish. And then the next picture below that, we have them all laid out. Beautifully done. I love the spread here. It looks so, the black against the brown wall. It looks so nice. You got a few pictures up over there. It looks so nice. This is a great set of pictures that he sent where we really get to see like the progression of the theater. You know, you get the boxes and even the earlier picture of the PB-13 Ultra, and it's kind of over in the corner and with, you know, it's not really put together, and then the stacked 1000s. But as we go along, you get to this picture here and you see everything all laid out where it should be, and it just looks beautiful. And then the next picture after that, we get a shot of his Epson EH-TW6100 projector. Clearly hasn't been mounted yet because the mount's sitting on top of it. Very nice projector. And the picture below that, we get a screen pulled down in front of the 65-inch TV. I love this. I love how people are doing these things in a living environment. It doesn't have to be a dedicated room. And look at the light coming off of that screen. It looks great. And then the picture below that, we see it with gaming. Now here is where I can get on board with some light behind it, because that's when light was meant to be behind a smaller TV. It's not the big screen of, you know, of a pull down screen and a projector. And in gaming mode, this must be great. It must be easier on the eyes, and it looks really nice. And this is a picture of the room, of course. And then the last picture we have just looks so nice. It's that, what's that Xbox he has up there? And he has the green hue lighting, so it must be Xbox because it's Xbox green. So that looks beautiful. I have the lighting in my theater, it goes green when you put Xbox on. As soon as you change the input, the whole room, all the lights, the hue lights in the room turn green. You put on PlayStation, all the lights turn blue. My son loves it. What a really nice theater. And what I think is funny is he told me, here is my, quote, small theater. With these KEF speakers and three subwoofers, this room has to rock. This is not a small theater. This looks like a lot of fun, very comfortable, very well done. I really, really enjoy this. I'm enjoying all of these theaters, like I said last week and every week. So much fun to see what people are doing. And if you want to see the theater, like I said, go to the website, leave your comments below, let them know what you think. Do that for any and all of the theaters. And if you want your theater featured, just email me. Email's the best. Email would be the best. I'm starting to learn that for these theaters, because when you send them through Twitter, it's tough because I have to search it out by the time that week comes up. Now, like Francis sent this quite a few weeks ago, and now I have to scroll back through Twitter, find the stuff, and I'm getting better organized at it. But if everybody could send through email, that would be great. But if you want to tweet them, that's fine too. I'm easy going. Thanks, Francis. Great job. Great theater. Check it out at brightsidehometheater.com and leave a comment. Now, let's get to this week's movie, Empire Strikes Back, Star Wars Episode 5, Empire Strikes Back. No, Empire Strikes Back. When I was 10, did you see Empire Strikes Back? That's what we said. That's what it is. That's my opinion. Sick Ted on me. See if I change my mind. I apologize to people that are sick of Star Wars. I am not sick of Star Wars. We have Mandalorian talk going on right now. That's coming up next month. I've been dying to get into something for Star Wars, and I really wanted to do something, so I picked Empire Strikes Back. I did Star Wars. That was my first podcast ever, and I decided, okay, we'll do Empire, then I'll probably do Jedi, we'll go through. But I was really excited to do this. I love sitting down to watch this movie. And that's what this is all about. I was looking for something like this, so that's where my motivation came from. So without further ado, let's play this trailer, and then I'll break it down. This movie from 1980, but I'll break it down. And I had a lot of fun with it. I hope you do too. Let's check out the trailer.
There is a great disturbance in the Force. I have felt it We have a new enemy.
This is a dangerous time. You will be tempted by the dark side.
This place gives me the creeps. I'm looking for someone. I'm looking for a great warrior. Vader. Is the dark side stronger?
There will be a substantial reward for the one who finds the Millennium Falcon.
Keep your eyes open, huh?
Right now, I feel like I'm taking the whole empire myself.
I know what you mean.
Rebels are alerted to our prisons. Prepare your troops for a surface attack.
I won't fail you. I'm not afraid.
You will be. You will be.
In end this destructive conflict and bring order to the galaxy.
Han! Leia! Patience!
That was a more modern trailer. I looked up all the other trailers, and they all seemed to be the original ones. They were all just images with the score, which is fabulous. But it didn't seem to play well, so I figured I'd use that one. It was obviously re-edited by a fan. I put the link. Links for the trailers are always in the show notes. Check that one out in your theater. I really enjoyed it. It had good sound, good dynamics around the room, and it was a little bit better than the old original trailers, so that's why I included that one instead. Maybe it got you interested in seeing the movie again, if the movie doesn't already do that anyways, like it does for me. That's why I'm doing it this week. I had that bug. I need to get it out. I need to see some Star Wars. And this one here, I haven't broken this one down properly yet. Of course, I did Star Wars as my first ever, but we didn't have the 4K version, so of course I will be doing that again in the future, Star Wars Episode 4. I love that movie. That is my absolute favorite movie. Empire is my second favorite. If you want to hear more on that, you can look up my podcast on Brightside Chat with my buddy John, where we go back and forth on that. That's all in the archives of that podcast. But this one here, let's get into the fun parts. How did this disc play out? I did a quick breakdown of it back in April when the box set came out. I have the Best Buy beautiful box set. That's where this disc came from. And it doesn't disappoint. If you haven't seen it yet, I can't imagine many people that haven't if you're a Star Wars fan. But this box set does not disappoint. This movie does not disappoint. This is as good as it has ever looked and sounded in all the years that I've watched this movie. So for picture, I'm just going to go with the overall clarity is amazing here. It's like a filter was lifted off the screen. I AB'd this back and forth with my original 1080p version. Don't even bother going back to the DVDs. It's not even close. That's like a dirty screen door from my cousin Vinny, if you remember the scene I'm talking about there. But going to the original, my little box set that I had of the 1080p version, the clarity here is amazing. It is a noticeable jump in clarity, plus all the detail you're going to see in the textures that you get from that additional clarity being in 4K. And then the HDR, it's like, so Dagobah, for instance, looks fantastic. It's all the greens, the darks, the shadows, all the highlights. There's one particular scene that I absolutely love in this movie. I label it as a reference scene. We'll get to that when we break down the scenes. But the other thing I really liked is the Imperial scenes. Anything inside of an Imperial cruiser, anything dealing with Stormtroopers and Vader. And it's that black and white. And that's basically what the Imperials are. It's everything around the floors are that jet black. The Stormtroopers are white. Everything. It's just black and white all over the place. Great contrast. And with the HDR here and then the 4K and the everything, the reflections that you can see. I was looking in Vader's helmet to see if I could see a cameraman or something. It looked so nice. I never found one. But the picture here is the best it's ever looked. I'm not going to say it's the best 4K I've ever seen, but for this movie from 1980, it really is the best it's ever looked. Getting to the sound, the Atmos sound, it does default to Atmos. That's nice. It's sad that I even have to keep saying that, but every now and then we come across one that doesn't. First and foremost, I'm going to get this out of the way up front so nobody thinks I'm overshadowing it or anything. The score. John Williams' score throughout this movie, it plays with your emotions like all the way through the movie. There's stuff going on that you're watching scenes and you're seeing, and it's the way the score ramps up and down and really just plays with you throughout the entire movie. It's unreal. And the clarity here is unreal. And the opening scene we'll talk about in a second. But I feel like if I keep mentioning the score all the way through this movie and all the different scenes, it would just sound repetitive. So it's the score. Every scene in this movie, the score plays a phenomenal role. Whether it's an action scene or a quiet scene, it's the score, the way it comes down in the more subtle moments, just amazing. I'm sure I'll mention it again, but I just wanted to get that out of the way because we all know the John Williams score here is just the best. But the sound quality throughout the rest of the movie with all of the different effects and it, I thought it had great dynamic range throughout the movie. You had some really nice bass, not tremendous bass, but some really nice bordering on great bass. There were some seat rumbles in there that I'll talk about. The room vibrated a little bit at times. Very engaging, but there was also a subtle bass that I really enjoyed that anytime they went into space, it was almost like, what was funny is like if they'd be on a planet and there wouldn't be much sound in that you'd have the ambient sounds of whatever, wherever they were, whether it was Dagobah and all of the like jungle noises or they were on Cloud City and you could hear the different noises, you know, ambient sounds of like, you know, hallways and everything. But whenever they went to space, which is supposed to be silent, there was a vacuum. There was like a hum that just took over your room every single time. Really, really nice. You just knew you were in space. And that's it for spoilers. Typically on a movie this old, I don't even bother playing the popcorn sound because everybody has seen this movie. There's no sense in playing the popcorn, but this is a quintessential popcorn movie. This is what we were brought up on. This is what I was brought up on. I was 10 years old when I saw this movie. Part of the reason you went to the movies was that was your opportunity to get some popcorn. So I would be foolish not to be playing the popcorn as we go into watching these scenes. And we're going to start with the opening scene. Of course, that John Williams score. Amazing. The orchestra layout. This is the scene, whether it was this movie or A New Hope or any of the Star Wars movies, these opening scenes with the score, with that orchestra playing, this is where my wife explained to me exactly where each instrument is. And she can actually pick out each instrument and she knows like that's that. And I can't name them. A flute. I don't know. Trombone. I don't, drums. That's me. That's my rudimentary version, but she can name like piccolos or I don't know, whatever. She could tell you exactly where they are. And whether you know what the instrument is or not, listen to this scene in your room. Listen to it at reference level and listen how the sound moves back and forth across your front stage and how the different instruments are highlighted on each side of the room or through the middle of the room. It's a lot of fun to do, and it's not something that I ever noticed before. My wife actually pointed it out to me. And especially the way this movie opens with the just that slams you with sound right away, like really loud. And it's almost like ear piercing that it hurts, but it's a great introduction and it opens you up. It gets you like, here we go. But that orchestra moving back and forth across the front is every time I watch a Star Wars movie and we're introduced with that, I have a lot more fun now that I know what I'm listening for. And then, of course, from there, we progress right into your typical Star Wars opening where we come in underneath a Imperial cruiser or something. And the base that we have there, really, really nice. And then on top of that, we have the probe droids being sent out into space and they're shooting past you from the front of the room over your left shoulder, over your right shoulder. Really nice. And then one crashes on Hoth and you get the nice big solid boom as it crash lands. But as far as 4K goes, see if you notice what I did in that when the smoke or steam or whatever coming up out of the snow, you have that it's all white, but there's nice subtle like pinks and greens in the smoke that I thought looked really, really nice. So see if you notice that as well, or maybe my projector's off. I don't know, but I thought it looked really cool and it didn't look like it was an accident. It looks like it's actually there. What I'm talking about there is at exactly 2 minutes and 40 seconds. It looked really cool. But then moving on to 4 minutes and 10 seconds, we have Luke unconscious being dragged off by the snow creature. And if you pay attention at 4 minutes and 10 seconds, Luke is on your screen. His head is off to the left of your screen. His foot is in the foreground coming to the right side. So that means that the snow creature is on the right side of your room. And if you pay attention, you can hear him crunching through the snow and grunting on the right side of your room. He's off camera because all you see is his hand, I believe, grabbing his foot. But it's pretty cool that it's like on your right side of your room. It's just off camera. You can hear him. He's right there. Really, really cool. Then at 6 minutes and 35 seconds, we have Han and Leia talking in the, quote, hallway. And through my comic book reading, I found out how they dug those hallways in a recent comic book. I can't remember which one it was, but it was within the last year. Those hallways were actually dug with Y-wing engines that they had obviously off of the Y-wing, but that's how they carved those tunnels out under the ground. It was pretty cool to read, and like you always wonder when you're watching the movie, like how did they do that? And then of course they backfilled the story with the comic books. So that was pretty cool. But anyways, the reason I noted this scene is there's a really nice pan in here and it's Han and Leia are talking. We have nice echo effects of them being in the hallway. I think another rebel comes walking by, so you can hear that a little bit. But when Han leaves, he goes off screen to the left, and his voice gradually goes there. Then she says something, I believe, and then he shouts back. But he shouts from pretty far away, and it sounds like he's that far off to the left. It's pretty, pretty cool scene. And then it progresses. Right from there, that scene goes to R2 and 3PO approaching on the right side of your screen, and you can hear them on the right side of the screen. And then they walk up, and their voices or the noises they're making progress from the right side of the screen and work itself right to the center. It's a really nice pan in both directions. Pretty cool scene. Progressing from there, you don't really need a timestamp on this, but really awesome ambient sounds of winds blowing. Anytime they show Han or Luke outside in the snow, your room is just swirling with winds. It's really, really cool. Going to 12 minutes and 5 seconds, really cool 4K thing that I noticed here, and that is it's the hangar. So we have Chewie, Leia, 3PO, and R2, and they're hanging out in the hangar waiting for Han and Luke to come back. And they've got to close the blast doors for the hangar. But the way this is shot, you see the opening that's, you know, the, before the blast doors are closed. You could see out into the night sky, and the blues in that dark night sky off in the background. But also the highlights that you're getting inside the hangar, the whites, the brighter looks, them being in the foreground. Just really, really nice detail, really clear here. And I thought the color popped a little bit more than I'd seen in the past. I honestly don't even remember seeing that far in depth in the back. And of course it was there. It just, your eye wasn't drawn to it. I thought that was pretty cool. At 19 minutes and 20 seconds, we have the probe droid. Han shoots the droid. And by the way, Han shoots the droid first before the droid shoots at him. And on the second shot, the droid explodes. Really nice deep bass with this explosion. But it was also a nice exchange too. So you have Chewie popping up, yelling, droid looks at him, then you have Han shooting it. So you have some blaster exchange before you get the full explosion. But I thought the blaster exchange was pretty cool too, because notice the different sounds between the bolt of light that the droid shoots at Han compared to his blaster. It's pretty cool. And then right after that, I'm just making a note here of this, of, check out the transfers throughout this movie when they go from one scene to the next, especially from a quieter scene like that. Like, so you have the explosion, but then it quiets down. But then they're going to go and transition into space or into something dealing with the Empire. And you're going to get that amazing bass. And it's just such a good transfer. It's like, there's no way you're nodding off during this movie. Especially with that Imperial March playing every time. At 25 minutes and 50 seconds, we have the Imperial Walkers approaching. This is the beginning. This is the biggest battle of the movie, really. And a lot of fun. But before we get to the big battle, I thought it was a pretty cool scene at the beginning where they show the Imperial Walkers. You could feel that bass starting to approach. You feel a little bit, it's a subtle bass, but you could feel that coming at you. But then they go to a shot of the rebels all getting ready into their trenches, and they come from the left to the right. So they come off screen, they jump in, and they drop all their weapons, and they're looking to the right side of your screen. And you hear them come in from the left and drop to the center. But on the right side, your right speaker is actually playing the Imperial Walkers. So it's like right where they're looking, you can hear those walkers coming at you. It's pretty cool. And of course, this progresses, like I said, to the best battle scene of the movie, filled with nice explosions, directional blaster fire. Of course, a John Williams score playing throughout. And I'd be remiss if I didn't point out the bubble wrap on the shoulder straps. So I mentioned this back, I believe I mentioned it on my Bright Side Chat podcast way back in March. And then I remember, I think it was Steve George mentioned it on Twitter, but it sticks out like a sore thumb. If you look at the shoulder straps on the snow speeders, they just taped bubble wrap. And you can even see, if you look close enough on some of them, you can see the scissor cuts, because they just quickly cut out these like long rectangles and just taped them right or glued them right onto the shoulder straps. And the only reason they could have done it was just for the texture, for the look, because there's no purpose behind it. It's on the reverse side, so it doesn't create more cushion for your shoulder. It's on the other side. It's just something that they put on to, like, here, let's make this look better than just a black strap. Obviously, never knowing that 4K would exist, and now we get to see it like a shark's eye drawn on in Sharpie. But any of those snow speeder scenes, even the earlier one when the snow speeders are out looking for Han and Luke, you could see that bubble wrap on their shoulders. It's pretty funny. At 32 minutes and 30 seconds, we have Luke with the grappling hook. He's running underneath the Imperial Walker, and he shoots his grappling hook up. And check this out, because there's a lot going on here. You have the sounds of the, you know, walkers hitting the ground. You have the score going. You have blaster fire going everywhere. But then when he shoots that hook and it hits underneath, it hits like right at the top left. All right. Just not all the way to the left, like left center. And it actually sounds like, if you listen to it closely, it just sounds like it hits right there. Like your eye goes up to that part of your screen and it sound, you know, on a nice big screen, it sounds like the sound is coming right from where he hit. And it's a good metallic clunky sound. So I really like that. I thought it was pretty cool. At 33 minutes and 35 seconds, this is really nice room rumble. Your seat shakes when the power generators are exploded. Pretty cool. That's a nice bass rumble right there. At 36:50, Han, Chewie, and Leia trying to avoid the Empire. Lots of great explosions. This, you know, the Falcons trying to avoid everything. Ships are flying by. TIE fighters fly overhead, and it sounds like they're going right over your room. This is a really good exchange here. Lot of fun with that scene. And that goes right into the asteroid field at 38 minutes and 58 seconds. Some nice base explosions here. Asteroids going down the side, clanking left and right. It's like your room, with both of these scenes, it's like your room is the Millennium Falcon and you're just, you're along for the ride and your room is being hit and feeling these, the blaster fire or feeling the asteroids hitting you. At 45 minutes and 20 seconds, well, now we have an unstable asteroid. We know what that is. Each rumble, like, shakes your room and vibrates your seats. It's like, and it's funny because they do the camera tilt. So, like, your screen is tilting, everything is going, and it's like, but you can feel this. It's really nice, subtle bass here that ramps up. And it's like, as it ramps up, you feel it come up into your seat and then goes away with each new rumble. But then at 50 minutes and 50 seconds, this is weird. I didn't know what to name it, so I called it just something mechanical. It's kind of a quiet scene. So it's the scene where, well, Leia's fixing something and Han comes in and it's, you know, her, your hands are trembling. It's that whole scene, but there's a certain shot where the camera's pulled back a little bit and you're looking at the two of them, but there's something in the foreground on the right side of your screen. And check that out, because it's just like oscillating back and forth and you can hear that mechanical noise of a back and forth. But it's funny because it's like right on the right side of your screen in the foreground, and it goes away when they actually get in closer on them. You can't hear it. Not like Goonies last week when you had that range going permanently in the corner regardless of where the camera went. So this one was pretty cool. I don't even know what that is, but I thought it was such a fun little detail that they were like, we're gonna put this thing in. First, when they shot the scene, they had to have that piece going back and forth. Then in the sound designer had to say, we're gonna make that noise do this over there, go back and forth, all the while you're listening to Han and Leia. If you're not watching the movie this many times, you're never noticing that. You're just paying attention to Han and Leia. But it's weird. And I love those little tiny details that create this environment that sometimes you don't even know what they are, but they're there. And it's the sum of the parts that make up this environment, or any environment really. And it's pretty cool. Check that out. It's at 50 minutes and 50 seconds. I just thought it was a neat detail. Then at 54 minutes and 50 seconds, this is in Yoda's hut, and this is that sound placement issue. If you heard me back in March and April, and I even asked Rob H. about it when he was on my show, I couldn't understand why. It's like, with everything that they did and all of the good things that went on in this movie sound design wise, this one here was a sound placement issue that was just off. And it's Luke's in Yoda's hut and he's like grabbing food from like a kettle, but that you see everything right there on the screen, but the noise is coming clearly just past your screen, like even past your speaker. And I don't know if it's because it's so isolated and it's so quiet that you can tell the difference. Like you can actually, there's not much else going on. There is some ambient sounds going on, but it's a pretty quiet setting. So you're a little more hyper-focused, or I'm a little more hyper-focused to this, because it's such a different effect than like the grappling hook scene, which I was like, wow, that's dead on. How did they miss this little noise, you know, the cup noise? They would have been better served putting that sound in the center than they would have moving it way over to the left. But that's at 54:50. That's just one of my little nitpicks. It's such a little nitpick, because this is actually a pretty cool scene where they have a ton of ambient sounds, little subtle sounds going on all around, jungle sounds, noises, everything. But the other part that I thought was cool about this scene is when Obi-Wan starts to talk. And I believe like the first time he talks, it's almost like it's over your head. I don't know if they use the overheads, but his voice does fill the room. But what was pretty cool is Yoda's in the foreground, so he's kind of looking back off to the right. He's looking off to the right, I should say. He's on the left part, left center of the screen. And then when Obi-Wan speaks, he turns around and looks at you, and looks up. So he's basically turning around, looking into your room, up at your ceiling, because that's where Obi-Wan's voice is coming from. And I thought that was a really nice effect that they did there. And it really made you like, ooh, he's turning around and looking at us, almost like we're there, you know, because that's where Obi-Wan's voice came from. And then at 1 hour and 2 seconds, we're back into a cave, which is not a cave. And here's like where obviously, you know, I'm talking about Han and Leia and Chewie, and they're in that cave. And really cool rumble when Han shoots the cave floor, in quotations. But shortly before that, before he shoots the floor, we have the Minox attacking. So you have Minox all over your room. Pretty cool scene. But a really nice rumble when he shoots the floor. And again, we have that, you know, camera tilt. So everything's going crazy and you get the vibrations through your seat. Really, really nice rumble there. Obviously, Han takes off. They get out of there at 1 hour, 7 minutes and 20 seconds. Han has to put the Falcon into attack position. So he's trying to escape. The rear deflectors don't work. So he's going to turn it around and come at him. And a really cool effect here. The best one here out of this scene is when they're coming at the Imperial cruiser, and the Falcon goes right over the bridge, and you get like you're in the bridge. Your room is the bridge, and the whole top of your room is just the giant bassy, nice deep bassy whoosh right past you from front to rear, almost like go from left to right rear. It just a really nice pan. But even before that, there's some nice attack scenes when the Falcon actually turns around is really cool. Really nice sound use here. And then, of course, at 1 hour and 15 minutes and 50 seconds, Falcon's on the back of the Imperial cruiser and it detaches, and you have that. It's really quiet, but then you get that metallic detaching sound. I don't know if that's even a term, metallic detaching sound. I don't know, but you know what I mean? It's a really, really nice sound. And then that goes right into some deep, deep bass as the Falcon and Boba Fett take off into space to head to Cloud City. But it's really, really cool scene here at 1 hour, 15 minutes and 50 seconds. At 1 hour, 18 minutes and 40 seconds, we get a completely new color palette never seen before in Star Wars up until now. But everything is washed in red. Falcon's arriving at Cloud City, and everybody inside the cockpit of the Falcon is in red. The skies are all red. Everything very monochromatic, and it looks really nice. And I thought the 4K, with the clarity of the 4K, it kind of really makes that pop. And then the range of the HDR bringing the deeper reds and the lighter reds, and I just thought it looked really, really nice. Obviously, I've seen that scene before, and I've noticed that it was red, but I just felt like it was a little bit clearer here, and with that, the dynamic range here ramped up just a little bit. It looked really, really nice. At 1 hour, 24 minutes and 48 seconds, we have Luke and a ladder. Where does that ladder go? If you've ever asked this question before, I apologize. I've asked it before, but at 1 hour, 24 minutes and 48 seconds, Luke is talking to Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he's sitting in the cockpit of his X-Wing. He had just climbed up the ladder, which is just propped to the side of his X-Wing, bright yellow ladder, and then it's gone. Where does that ladder go? Who put it underneath? Where does it come from? Where did it go? I don't know. Anyways, moving on. That was it. 1 hour, 28 minutes and 19 seconds. Vader. Love this scene. This scene here scared the hell out of me when I was 10 years old. When those doors open, really cool sound effects as Vader disarms Han, and you have him using the Force to grab the blaster fire going off. Just a really cool scene. No doubt about it, this is still a jump scene for anybody that has never seen this movie. It has to be a jump scene. I don't care if you're a kid or you're older, but you're not expecting that. The double cross by Lando and everything behind it. But I just really, really like this scene. And again, it's not the most fabulous, not a reference sound scene, but I really like this scene a lot. And the score here, just ramping it up, because the score is just playing mildly till those doors open, and then just listen to that score just go right through you. It's such a great scene, in my humble opinion. And now we get to my reference scene of this movie. At 1 hour, 33 minutes and 46 seconds, we have the carbon freezing room. And this is when they first go in and Vader's explaining to Lando what he wants to do. And I tweeted out this picture the other day of this room and the blues and the oranges and how that just that high contrast, and blue and orange are opposite colors. So that's like black and white only in color. They're just opposite colors, and the contrast you get there and the differences in it. Everything about this scene, and you have steam and you have the shadows and the darks, the 4K, the detail that you can get in 4K, the dynamic range we're getting with the high dynamic range, the HDR, it's all shown off here in this movie from 1980. And the way Lucas shot this, using those blues and oranges, the blues are up high, the oranges are coming from down below. So what does that do? That creates that blue look over your head. So all of your cheekbones are blue because the light's hitting them from above. But your jawline is all highlighted in orange. Your top lip is orange. Your bottom lip is blue. All of these little highlights are going on. And the reason I'm using those facial structures is because this is all building to that kiss. And when Han and Leia lean in on each other and you look at the contrast and you look at everything that's going on there, it is shot so well and it's so dramatic. And of course, we all are happy that they're getting together in this, because they are contrasting personalities. They're butting heads all the time, and they're really not contrasting personalities. They're exactly alike, and that's why they're butting heads. But the picture in this scene is just stunning. And you compile that with the score and Chewie crying. This scene is so powerful as it plays out, and Chewie upset. The steam noises going off around the room. So much going on here. So much to take in visually, audibly. And like I said, starting at 1 hour, 33 minutes and 46 seconds. And I love how they just bring you into this, and you have a nice little opening scene with Vader explaining to Lando what's going to happen. And then that progresses into the big scene, but just the powerfulness of the contrast of everything that's going on here. And it's such a great scene. That's my reference scene for the movie. I think that shows off the HDR here in this movie more than any other scene in this movie, really. Just a visually stunning scene. At 1 hour, 41 minutes, 30 seconds, we have Luke versus Vader. Much of the same with the blue and the orange. The decent lightsaber battle. I don't think the scene's as dramatic as the carbon freezing scene, because they're moving around a little bit more. I just didn't find it as visually stunning. It looks really cool. It's a nice backdrop for the lightsaber battle. But as far as lightsaber battles go, these are kind of slow by today's standards. But the battle does kind of ramp up at 1 hour, 46 minutes, and 5 seconds, and Vader just starts throwing stuff, like the kitchen sink, like anything in the room, and it doesn't even matter if it's bolted down. He just rips it off the wall with the Force, and he starts throwing it at Luke, and Luke is swinging like me playing baseball. I couldn't hit a ball if it was on the tee. I think I struck out in T-ball. It was the acting that Luke is doing, or Mark Hamill is doing while he's swinging his lightsaber here. He is just exhausted, so he's done. But the sounds flying, your room just comes alive with the sounds flying by and Luke trying to deal with it. Then one goes through the window, and now we have the whoosh of the wind and everything. It's just really, really cool. And all the while this is going on, they're flashing back and forth, and you have Han and Leia trying to escape. And at 1 hour, 47 minutes, and 5 seconds, we have Leia shooting a stormtrooper like right in the chest from point blank range. That's it. I just thought that was a riot. She looked around the corner. There he was. He like ran right into it. He didn't even try to dodge. Just check that out. 1 hour, 47 minutes, 5 seconds. This stormtrooper is just running and she just shoots him like right in the chest and he just goes down. But then at 1 hour, 49 minutes, and 53 seconds, we have I am your father. And the battle leading up to this line and everything that comes with it, the lightsabers clashing together, really nice bass, really nice sound here. A lot of that going on. The lightsaber misses when they take out railings or anything. The sound moving from side to side. But the other thing I wanted you to notice here was, check out as this battle's going on and even before this, but as they're having this battle, every now and then they're shutting their sabers off. And notice how quiet the room gets when they shut those sabers down. When both lightsabers are shut off, everything goes silent. And then when one comes on, there's obviously an audible hum that fills your room with that lightsaber lighting up. And I feel like watching this movie, I feel like if they were sneaking around, they'd be like, shut your lightsaber off. They can hear us. It's like, it's just really, really loud. And then when both of them light up together, the whole room, it's like you can hear, like every speaker in the room is getting a hum in it, it seems like. Then at 1 hour, 56 minutes, and 12 seconds, we have the final chase. And this is really cool effects. It's blaster shots going past you. This is where Lando and Leia are trying to escape and the TIE fighters are chasing them. Really nice base here. Really nice final chase. It's a pretty cool scene. And then at 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 15 seconds, we have R2 finally fixing the hyperdrive and they can get into light speed and the base. And it's like your room is the Millennium Falcon again. They really place you in this and the base just comes right up through you as the Millennium Falcon. I almost said as you accelerate. As the Millennium Falcon accelerates, you can feel it, and it's almost like you're being put back into your seat. Just a great way to wrap up the movie. From there, obviously, we have the score. We have a couple more scenes, but the score is really filling the room here. Unbelievable movie. There's so many other scenes. In this particular breakdown, I wanted to do a little bit more like of some intricate things that maybe you hadn't noticed before. Hopefully I did that for you. This is an older movie that we've all seen many, many times. I try to pull out a little something that maybe you haven't seen before. So let me know in the comments underneath the episode title on the webpage at brightsidehometheater.com. Or you could tweet at me at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHometheater@gmail.com. Keep those comments coming. Keep the movie suggestions coming. Keep the theater submissions coming. We're having a blast. This podcast is growing. Just what the content in the podcast is growing. Hope you guys are having fun. Let me know any suggestions. I think next week we are going to have another very special week. Can't guarantee it though. Scheduling, you know, we'll see next week. But until then, have a great weekend, have a great week, and go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.